Welcome to the Cashflow Champs podcast, the show where we demystify real estate investing so you have the tools you need to gain financial freedom through passive investments in real estate. And now your host, Cashflow Champs Managing Partner, Prashant Kumar.
Well, hello, hello. This is Prashant Kumar from Cashflow Champs. You are listening to Cashflow Champs Real Estate Podcast. We have a distinguished guest today with us, Jason Wright. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome, awesome. I'm going to introduce Jason formally. You know, he's a speaker, author, entrepreneur, consultant, and digital marketing architect with a passion for helping real estate investors and entrepreneurs with their sales funnels. Jason prides himself on his ability to connect with people and speak to them in a language they understand. Jason is able to design successful marketing automation machines, all while keeping a positive attitude and sense of humor along the way. I was talking to Jason earlier, and he's limited partner in few deals, and he's helping real estate investors, you know, do all the marketing stuff. Again, Jason, thank you so much for your time today.
Hey, no problem at all. Glad to be here.
I introduce you, but I want to hear from you, your background from horse's mouth. You know, tell us a little bit about the unique value, the background that you have.
So I've got to give you a little bit of the journey. Like many people, I was in corporate America, not fulfilled, right? Didn't like having any control, didn't like having my time controlled and my income capped. So I was determined to make money online and do something for myself, and didn't go so well the first time. I quit. My full-time job failed pretty quickly, ended up having to go back to corporate out of desperation. And it took me about 18 more months of building this business before my wife was like, hey, you're making more money part-time than you are at the day job. Let's see what you can do full-time. So we got started with the digital marketing. And back then, I would pretty much work with anybody who would pay me, right? I wasn't real picky. And I started to dabble with the funnels, and I understood the power of the sales funnel. And it's like, man, this this information, this understanding can help pretty much all businesses out there. So I've been doing this now about 5.5 years. And a couple years ago, I worked with my first syndicator, and I really didn't understand what they did, but I understood there was a customer journey with their investors, and they had no automations of any kind. So I kind of got my feet wet with it. In the last 17 months, I've worked with an additional 114 active capital raisers. So, you know, when you get into this this community, there's some great people, and you start getting exposed to what they're doing and why. So I was a marketer first, and then, you know, last year got into my first deals in LP, and, you know, started my own private equity company at the end of last year as well. So it's been an interesting ride, but I really like what we're doing right now. I really like the focus a lot.
It sounds like an interesting journey. You said you have worked with 114 capital raisers to set up their marketing automation. Tell us more. I mean, tell us more. How do they start? I mean, what are the problems that you have seen in their sales funnels, and how have you helped them?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the capital raisers in general, you know, they struggle with all pieces of the sales funnel. And I really teach the sales funnel in three pieces to keep it simple. The first piece is traffic. This is getting attention online or offline and directing it somewhere online. Popular examples of traffic are social media, podcasts like this one, face-to-face networking. The next piece of the funnel is what I call the front end. These are the pages that people interact with. Websites, you know, investor portals, et cetera, et cetera. And then the piece that we focus on exclusively is what I call the back end. It's what happens after people join your email list. And I really believe it's the foundation of the whole thing. And I came to that conclusion from spending 2.5 years myself focused on traffic. And I can remember it very clearly, my wife coming in my office one day saying, where's the money with this business you're building? You're spending all this time here, you're working full time, where's the money? I was like, I don't know. I can get attention online, but I don't know what to do with it. So then when I figured out I've got to focus on sales, I focused on that back end first, then went to the pages and the wording, and then I went to find more people that resonated with my offer. So it's been a journey of a lot of pain and failure for me, but it's given me really, really good clarity. So Again, we help people specifically with the back end, specifically in ActiveCampaign. That is our platform of choice, really, because I've been using it since the very beginning. It works the same way my mind works, and I've worked in about 500 accounts to date, so pretty familiar with the software.
So tell us more about, you know, various sources of traffic. You know, again, you kind of you attach yourself a little bit, you kind of address that a little bit.
Yeah.
Tell us about these three phases, you know, a little bit more into detail, so that, you know, listeners get some value out of it.
Yeah, sure. So some of the, so like you're asking, like, what are some of the best sources of traffic for active capital raisers? LinkedIn is a phenomenal platform. LinkedIn, unlike Facebook, you still can get really good organic reach with your posts. And what helps them on LinkedIn is when people comment, liking and sharing isn't enough. They have to actually comment. If you do it for people, they can do it back. But LinkedIn's really powerful. Podcasting is still really popular and really powerful. I'll tell you one thing is meetups, right? Whether it is an in-person meetup for real estate investors in your area or a virtual meetup, I've got a lot of friends and clients that have meetups that are doing some great things with them. And what I mean by great things, they're building their email list, they're getting more passive investors, they're making connections with other partners in the space that they need as well. I haven't heard anything bad about meetups. Some other things people are doing, free events online with Eventbrite, and then, you know, inviting people to those. So there's a lot of neat strategies out there. I think really the key to all of them is consistency. You know, content is important, but I would say consistency is even more important. You know, sometimes people will say, well, Jason, we send out a newsletter once a quarter, and that's kind of all we're doing with our marketing. And I say, okay, well, if you went to the gym four times a year, would you get stronger? Would you look different in a year? Probably not. It's the same concept. So those are a few examples of some really good traffic sources.
So basically, you suggest that we spend time, you suggest your clients, capital raisers, to spend time on LinkedIn and on Facebook. You suggest that they should do meetups. You suggest that, you know, in person or virtual, and you suggest that they should do some sort of free events and be consistent in what they are doing.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you are suggesting. That's their piece. I mean, they do that. Where do you come in picture? I mean, how do you help them in this endeavor on the traffic side?
So on the traffic side, we don't offer services for clients. I used to. I still do it for my businesses, but I don't do it for clients anymore. Where we come into play is after somebody joins the email list, right? So you set up the marketing automation, then you hook it up to the websites. The last thing you should be focused on is traffic. And the thing about traffic is it's really getting you and your company in front of a new audience as much as possible. So that's the piece that never ends. You know, the people that are doing really well in business, they know their offer, they know their avatar. They're just trying to find more of those avatar to get their message and their unique value proposition in front of.
So do you help design the front end also for them or no? Okay, that's
nope, not what I you do not. I actually have a partner that works, has his own company, but I actually partner up with other people that do the different pieces of the funnel because, like I said, I used to do all of it. Now we just do the back end because that's all I want to do. What's kind of funny is when you do the back end like me, you help with the email marketing automation, we always seem to be the hero. You know, if you're doing paid ads for somebody and it doesn't go well, man, clients can get really, really mad. If you're building websites and you put a ton of time into it and the client's like, I hate it, start over, that's not fun either. So over the years, I've just kind of stopped doing the things that I didn't want to do.
Got it. So email marketing, when you say backend, what all are the components on the backend? Email, text, voice, what all are the components that you get involved in?
Yep. So that's a great question. Email and the two-way text is my favorite. I use a little bit of ringless voicemail in my business after I've jumped on a Zoom call with somebody, very subtly, just two of them. And I've actually had people respond, yeah, I got your call. And I was like, what are you talking about? I didn't call you. I forgot about it. But two-way text is probably the most powerful thing I've used. And the reason why, something happens in the mind of the people texting you. So people are very vulnerable in text. They're very open in text, even right away. And people will text you things that they will not email you and they will not share on a call, which is strange. So I think it's because people are used to texting family and friends. So that's just where their mind goes, but it's very conversational and extremely powerful. So I'm a big fan of it for sure.
So what are the tools that you are specialized in the back end? You know, I know you said ActiveCampaign, is that what you want to use?
Yep.
What else do you use?
Yeah, so there's another program called Sales Message. That's the two-way texting tool. It integrates with ActiveCampaign. So I actually send my text messages from ActiveCampaign automations. And then when people reply, I can reply, you know, on my phone. And it records all that information in ActiveCampaign. We also use, you know, Zapier as needed. And there's a lot of other little tools like Calendly and things like that. But getting that CRM and that digital marketing backend set up is really, like I said, the foundation, the nucleus of everything you're doing. And it makes a big difference. So.
Got it. And in terms of, you know, traffic or the front end, what are the tools that you have seen or you prefer that somebody would use to bring the data into the backend system?
You've got to have good lead magnets, right? There's got to be a good value exchange just to get somebody's email address. My lead magnets are typically, I want their first name, I want their email, and I want their phone number. And I'll literally say, I'm not going to call you. I want this for SMS, right? So when you do that, is an ebook enough value to get all that information? Probably not. So you need to be thinking about your lead magnets. What can I give people with a perceived value of $100 or more? Complete stranger. Something that if a potential investor sees it, they go, I've got to have that information. If you put together attractive lead magnets, the people coming into your funnels are so much more engaged, and it's such a different experience for them. So there's got to be a real quality exchange there. And I think a lot of people forget about that.
So what do you do? What do you suggest that? What makes a lead magnet attractive lead magnet? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So for one, you really have to know who your avatar is. You really have to know who you're targeting. To say people with money, you need to dial it in a little bit more than that. And sometimes it's a process. You can't just figure it out. I never set out to work with active capital raisers. I've pivoted over the years and I found a nice niche. So you got to know who you're targeting. And then I like video. Video is very powerful. I use video for everything I possibly can. Loom is a great tool. Zoom is as well, even though they're different. But making a video lead magnet where there's videos that can, even if it's three short videos that are a couple minutes where you can give people information they're seeking and specifically talk to one avatar, it should have enough polarity that it either strongly attracts or strongly repels people that may come across it. So if you do that well and you get it dialed in, the conversion rate goes way up and it becomes a much easier experience for sure. It's a process though. It's a process.
So you think that a video as a lead magnet or video as a place to attract leads on a Facebook in general, what's your thought? I mean, we do live videos all the time, but they're not lead magnets per se. So would you create a video as a lead magnet or what is your thought there?
It could be. Yeah. I mean, the thing that's kind of fun that I enjoy about marketing is there's no rules, right? There's no boxes you have to stay in. I like landing pages with a little explainer video and a headline, and they opt in and they get some more videos, some more content from you about whatever they're seeking. That's a good model. It's fairly easy to set up. You can use Loom videos that have built-in calls to action in them where people can watch. A call to action button can pop up in the video and they can click it and go to, you know, book a call or do something like that. So there's a lot of different things you can do that way. You can also set up like little mini webinars, right? And if you have a fund or whatever you're doing, or even just a syndicated deal that you're raising for, you know, obviously it's going to be a 506C because you're marketing for it. But even if you did a little short mini webinar on what you like about it and, you know, pre-record that, that could be a lead magnet to get people on the phone and maybe, you know, get soft commits and get them going as well. So there's a lot of things you can do. Video just seems to be a really good use of our time, in my opinion.
Got it, got it. So tell us a little bit more about your success in this business and your client success, you know, starting with your client success, you know. I mean, you have had 114 clients so far, or maybe more. I mean, so what has been their experience working with you?
I would say it's been a good experience because we keep having people refer their friends and it just doesn't stop. So what we really help with, to kind of put it into context, we help with that potential new investor nurture. So as people come into your list, we indoctrinate them, we welcome them, we get them into a sequence that's going to nurture them to book a call. And then from there, there's different steps kind of in that initial customer journey. With the active capital raise, we help using marketing automation to get people to webinars. Then we nurture them with two-way text and video for the soft commit, signing paperwork, and wiring money. And then we have some other automations that are for special use cases, re-engagement, contact scoring, et cetera. So we help people automate as much as we can. You can't automate everything, as much as we can, because what I find out from talking to hundreds of investors a year just on Zoom calls is that people aren't doing anything. Like, I'll ask people, hey, if somebody joins your list, what happens next? Nothing. If you talk to somebody about investing and they don't choose to invest today, what happens next? Nothing. So there's just a lot of opportunity there. And we set it up for them. We teach them how to use it with screen share video. And then we give them lifetime support on what we do. So even from a high level, it's a pretty compelling offer. And people like it and it works great. And we just keep making it better.
So do you create the content also for the backend?
We give them templates, right? We give them templates so they understand what they are trying to accomplish. We are giving a new tool out. A friend of mine in a different company just made this, but it's a 20-minute training video on how to use ChatGTP to write your email copy. And it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing stuff. So there's a solution there if you don't want to do it and you don't want to hire a copywriter. AI is pretty amazing these days. But we give them the framework and say, here, this is what we're trying to accomplish. You need to put it in your own voice, though.
So you set up the template, but do you brand the template?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be branded and they're going to have placeholder copy. And some of it they'll probably keep because for what it is, but some of it they definitely need to tweak. But yeah, we definitely brand the templates and all that good stuff. Yep.
So it looks like this is one-time service, one-time project that you do for client.
Yep.
And what do you mean by the support? I mean, lifetime support when you say...
Yeah, so people will have questions down the road, 6 months, a year, 2 years later, they may say, hey, is this possible, an active campaign? Or what was this thing supposed to do again? So they'll have questions. It'll be both about strategy and architecture, how things flow. And I find kind of beyond 3 months, it really goes down. Beyond 6 months, it goes way down. So being able to make that offer doesn't scare me at all.
Got it. So you set the back end up and then you say, listen, guys, you handle it, but I'm going to support you. Are you alone in your team or do you have somebody else who helps you?
No, I'm not alone. I don't even do the fulfillment anymore. So you've got me and my wife, you've got five others. So there's eight of us right now.
Oh, okay. That's a big size team basically doing all this. So and how many customers are coming to you usually now, and how long does it take for you to set this up for them?
This year, last year was our best year ever. This year we're going to probably double revenue again for the third year in a row. So more customers come all the time. It's hard to say how many come each month, but our average keeps going up. Our typical turnaround time is 5 weeks. We do have an expedited option where we can speed that up for people that are willing to pay for it, but 3 to 5 weeks is kind of the range. So,
got it. So I know you said one thing. One is just normal, normal backend setup. Second, you said if you are in a raise, are there specific things that you do for raise? I mean, separately, how does it work?
So I don't know, about 40% of the people that hire me will be like, oh, by the way, I'm in the middle of a raise or I have one starting next week. So what we'll do is we'll start at the piece of the project that helps them with the raise. right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to, you know, announce the webinar and so you get the sequences ready for the soft nurture and all that. And the webinar piece and the soft nurture need to be done first, but we can set that up pretty quickly. So while they're focused on that stuff, we can continue to work on the rest of the project. So it's fairly simple for us to get those pieces set up.
And that's not, I mean, I'm just trying to ask a little bit deeper question and in sure. the sense that, you know, what is typically the cost for your services, you know? I know.
So there's a couple different packages, but the average cart value of what people spend with us is $5,700 as of today. And obviously that'll only go up as we go into the future.
Got it. So it's basically setting up the backend infrastructure on active demand, taking care of the funnels and stuff like that. But as far as the content creation is concerned, that is still their responsibility. And they're supposed to do that as they go along, basically.
Yeah, but like I said, with that new step-by-step video with ChatGTP that we're giving them, they have no excuse to use that as their excuse because they can literally knock it out in 30 minutes, which is unbelievable. So they're paying us for strategy, architecture, training, and support.
Right. And what is the success? I mean, I know we can set this up, but the point is, what does customer get out of it? Do they do Facebook ads and bring the leads?
That's the piece as far as there's a lot of variables out of our control, right? So if people use the tool, people see the value in the tool. They've got a great CRM. They get responses out of text. I just had a guy reach out to me Monday of this week. He sent me a quick audio message and said, "Hey, man, I used your automation in a new raise. We had our webinar, so it's the Nurture for Soft Commit." He said, "I got a guy that's a soft commit at 100 grand, and I've never had that before." And I was like, "Sweet, cool, keep doing it." And he's like, "I was on a plane to Vegas when it happened." I was like, "That's the beauty of automation." So you get these little wins. We've had people raise $3 or $4 million in a couple of days. And, you know, there's a lot of variables that affect that. Yeah, if they already have a list of investors, if they're brand new, like those things matter. Their traffic sources matter. But nobody can deny that if you make more touch points with your marketing, you're going to have more success. You're going to have more calls. You're going to have more conversations, and good things are going to come out of those. There's no way around it.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever used a system called Kartra? Is that something?
Kartra is going to be like a competitor to ActiveCampaign, what we use. So yeah. It's a different system. ActiveCampaigns, I would say they're the two competitors that I hear the most are going to be HubSpot and maybe Go High Level. And I've never used Go High Level, but I know there's some issues with email deliverability and some other things I've been hearing. But ActiveCampaigns less expensive than HubSpot. HubSpot's super powerful, but for the average person, it's pretty overwhelming. So we give people, all they need, and there's quite a bit more it can do, but it's a good program.
So besides ActiveCampaign, I know you said we have Zapier and we have Calendly that is needed, but if for a normal startup person, and I'm into marketing, by the way, that's why I'm asking these deeper questions, you can feel that. Beside for a normal new guy, you know, to come in and, you know, get their system set up, what all do they need step by step? I mean, just give me like 5 tools, you know, that this should be enough for them.
So for the full funnel or just the back end?
For the full flow.
Full funnel, I'm going to say if you have ActiveCampaign, if you have sales message, if you have Calendly, if you're doing your own deals, you need an investment portal and then you need a website.
Okay.
Yeah, that gives you really the full funnel. Then the next piece is going to be traffic.
Yeah.
Traffic again, how are you getting people in front of your forms, your offers, how are you getting people on your list, basically?
Got it. No, this is super awesome, Jason. I mean, how do people connect with you? You know, how do they come to you, and you know, what is the process? What is the sales process that you have with them?
Yeah. So people, like I said, most people come to me by referral, but if people want to go into my process, we book a call. Everything starts with just a 20-minute Zoom call. Figure out who they are, what they're doing, kind of what their level of experience is. Then I share my screen and show them kind of what I do. It takes about 20 minutes. And then I give them a scope of work that runs through everything and they can look at it. And then I drop them into my marketing automation, and my automation closes all my deals for me. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
You have set up your own marketing automation too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I do all the sales for our company, but my automation does all the back-end marketing for us. So
it's all text-based or voice, or what is your mom?
Yeah, so it's going to be email, two-way text, and a little bit of ringless voicemail, but email, two-way text is most of it.
Email, two-way text, okay.
And then obviously I'm nurturing with my podcast, with my Facebook group, with my YouTube channel, everything. Once you get people in your world in more than one place, everything you're doing is nurturing, and that's really the key. It's not finding that new investor one time. It's building that relationship and maintaining it. That's the piece people forget about.
Yeah, building the relationship and maintaining it. I think that's the point.
Absolutely.
Got it. And how can our folks reach out to you?
Yeah, if I've said anything today that's interested you, you can come to intentionallyinspirational.com, or you can check out capitalraisingautomations.com. Got a little video there for you, give you some education, give you some things to think about that I think you'll find interesting.
Being on this podcast, do you have anything, any deal for anybody, that you would offer?
So my other company is called Wind River Equity Partners, named after the Wind River Range in Wyoming. We are just in the final steps of setting up our first fund. It's a short-term rental fund. We're working with the great guys over at TechVestor. We've got some amazing stuff going on over there. So if that's of any interest to you, I'd love for you to come over and check out Wind River Equity Partners, and you can reach out to me there.
And you said TechVestors. What is TechVestors?
So TechVestor, it is a company, and they focus on short-term rental fund in a way that nobody else is doing it. It's generating a ton of revenue for the investors. They're building just a beautiful boutique portfolio of Airbnbs across the country. And doing it all in-house. It's all vertically integrated, but it's a beautiful thing. It's working really, really well. And I believe this is the second year they're doing it, but I'm feeding that fund as a fund manager. So I couldn't be more excited about it.
So you are feeding that and basically you're sort of a partner in that in a way.
Yep.
So they are the fund owner, and they are doing portfolio of short-term rentals across the country.
Yeah, and for a guy like me, it's great because I just want to raise money and maintain those relationships with investors. I don't want to fool with anything else. So that's exactly what it is. Yep.
Awesome. Yep. Jason, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. I appreciate it. I mean, this has been very helpful. And hopefully, our listeners are listening to it and they connect with you. And hopefully it was worth your time.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cashflow Champs podcast. Cashflow Champs partners with busy working professionals and entrepreneurs that want to build and maintain generational wealth through real estate. Visit cashflowchamps.com to learn more about us.